What a mess. What a mess this old vineyard is. All around are vestiges of beauty, and some semblance of it still remains, though most of it is covered by the wear and tear of time and tragedy. The once sturdy walls designed to protect its inhabitants now stand askew, cracking and crumbling. The sky-reaching trellises that once supported great clusters of grapes now support half the fruit and twice the thorny vines. The once rich soil that was designed to support and grow abundant life now rests riddled with rocks and weeds, with surfaces scarred with signs of traumas past. What happened here? What happened to turn this vineyard of bountiful potential into a garden of withering despair? What happened? The tenants. The tenants happened. Generations of them, and with each new generation came a new generation worth of sins, generations of mistakes, generations of shed blood that now paints the landscape. The vineyard's now rickety watchtower has seen it all, everything from minor infractions to major crimes to world-altering failures. From its heights, its beams have cringed as its guardians harassed, abused, and murdered its master's servants. From its heights, its rails have shuddered as those who were entrusted with the growth of its grapes preferred instead to quarrel amongst themselves, to politicize their positions, to ignore the master's orders rather than tend to their trusts. From its heights, its supports have creaked and groaned as the owner's dearest love, his own son, was unceremoniously tossed from the place that was justly his by the tenants that he unjustly loved, who relished to participate in his unjust murder. And here we stand in the aftermath, in the settling dust, in what remains of the master's vineyard. Not much has changed since these scars first appeared in the drying dirt. And though new tenants now work the soil, dress the vines, and guard the walls, it seems that there's just something about tenants that doesn't let them get along. To this day, they still find themselves at each other's throats. They are still distracted or disinterested in their work. They still recoil from the master's messengers, preferring to hear what's best for them than what's best for all. As you might have guessed, this vineyard is more than just a vineyard. It is the holy Christian church of which you happen to be a part. So what do you think about God's vineyard, God's church? Is it what you expected from a place whose owner is the Almighty? It's true, this vineyard has had some bad tenants. God's church has had some bad members. Some killed the prophets. Others killed fellow Christians. Others distorted the gospel, and still others have preached half-truths about who God is and what he has done. And now here you are, one more tenant in a long line of tenants. So tell me, what kind of tenant will you be? How will the walls, trellises, soil, and guard tower remember you? Will you be faithful? Will you be different? Will you be better? Or will you add more stars, abuse more messengers, add one more voice to the call of crucify him? As one privileged to serve as an occasional messenger to the tenants of God's vineyard, my prayer is that the recipient's reaction to the question would echo the words of Jesus' crowd. God forbid that we become like messenger-rejecting tenants. God forbid that the church get to such a place that the Lord takes the responsibility away from us and gives it to someone else. Being a messenger-rejecting tenant, it's hard to imagine. From where we sit, it might even be easier to look down on those who starred the ground with their mistakes and mocked those who proved unfit and unfaithful to God's task. But that's a dangerous spot to be. Because here's the truth of the matter. Very few tenants sought to become what they became. Very few tenants looked around God's vineyard in their time and context and said to themselves, I can't wait for this place to burn. I can't wait for this place to crumble. I can't wait to throw out another messenger and kill the Father's Son for good measure. No, each one was convinced, just like we are, that they would be different too. That they'd be the ones that would stop the cycle of abuse and neglect and finally produce the fruit the Master desired. And look what they became. What makes us any different from them? Nothing. The same sinful potential resides in both them and us. Here is a difficult truth. Jesus doesn't need us. Jesus doesn't need us to care for his vineyard. Jesus doesn't need us to grow his kingdom. Even the best of tenants have only lived but 70 years, or maybe 80 or 90 if they have the strength. And guess what? Though the garden they left behind is battered and bruised, fruit still grows. The walls still stand. The vineyard goes on, even if the tenants do not. So as those who find themselves in God's church by God's grace alone, what does the Master expect from his tenants? He expects to see fruit. He expects to see faithfulness. He expects to see zeal and dedication. He expects us to love his vineyard, love his messengers, and most importantly, love his Son just like he does. Are you ready to be that kind of tenant? Are you willing to be that kind of tenant? Are you determined to be that kind of tenant? I pray so. Because if we have convinced ourselves that we have a place in this vineyard because the Master owes it to us, because we are somehow better or more special than the rest, or because this place couldn't survive without us, we are sorely mistaken. God gives us this warning today, just like he gave to the tenants in Jesus' parable, because he knows our history. He knows our hearts. He knows our tendencies. Before our time in the vineyard is done, the Master will have sent us many a messenger, messengers who will point out our sins, point out our lack of love, point out our lack of devotion. And chief among those messengers is the Master's Son. When those messengers come, how will you receive them? Will you welcome them? Will you listen to them? Or will you ignore them, reject them, abuse them in thought, word, or, God forbid, even deed? Starting next week Sunday, God's messenger is going to arrive. He will enter with triumph on Sunday, and he will depart in death on the following Friday. And though his message is proclaimed all year long, his voice is heard most clearly during the annual remembrance of the week that we call holy. And his message is always the same. Despite the tenants' faults and failures, despite the scars they leave on the ground and on his body, despite the sin that rests on their souls and on his shoulders, despite what they might do to the Master's vineyard, his church, or what they might do to his one and only Son, the Father sends his Son anyway. Because it's only in the Son that the tenants learn the truth. We are not in God's vineyard, in God's church, because he owed it to us or because we have impressed him with good works done in faith. No, we are here because the love he has for his Son is the same love he has for you. He placed you in his vineyard that you might escape the world that can't escape decay. He placed you in his vineyard that you might find a foundation on a cornerstone that will never crumble, never falter. He placed you in his vineyard that you might hear the Son and find that in the death caused by your sin, You receive life. Dear friends, during this upcoming Holy Week, don't skate through it. Don't miss what's being offered. Don't ignore why it happened or forget what it means for you. This blood-filled, battle-scarred, aging, cracking, crumbling vineyard is God's pleasure and delight. It is the place God literally lived, suffered, and died to save. To save its walls and trellises, its vines and grapes. But more importantly, to save its tenants, his servants, to save you. The tenant who takes the vineyard for granted first takes the master's son for granted. Don't take your God for granted. Instead, be tenants worthy of God's vineyard. May God's passion be our passion, God's patience our patience, God's mercy our mercy, God's love our love. May God's words be our voice, his works be our motivation, his promises be our confidence. May his baptism be our daily washing, and his body and blood in bread and wine be our daily meal. May his servants be our shepherds, and his son be our Savior. May we never forget that our place in God's vineyard isn't a right, isn't a reward based on good works. No, it's a privilege given by grace. We get to be a part of God's church. We get to have a place in God's salvation story. We get to have our names written in God's book of life. We get to hear with confidence and joy, God has taken away all your sins. Well done, good and faithful tenant. What a mess. What a mess this old vineyard is. However, even though the world might scoff at the cracks, scowl at the weeds, shake their heads at the dysfunction and disrepair, God's church goes on, and we are privileged to be a part of it. For this vineyard will stand even if the cosmos crumble. For this is the place God has chosen to dwell through his means of grace. This is the place where the fruit of the Spirit is grown. This is the place where God's people find life, in a place full of stars, in a place covered in blood, in a place riddled with sin, a place where God's Son contented himself to die covered in undeserved scars, innocent blood, and foreign sins. This is where the Almighty cried his final Amen. So look alive, you tenants. Watch and wonder, for the Master's Son is coming, and he brings with him a message of his death, a message that brings you life. So, how will you receive him? Amen.